Chapter 18. It was Otto Sneigenad who took charge of the body, washing it and laying it out with the help of Magnus Quinn. Harrowhawk was surprised that Otis had the trick of it, let alone the will to do so. In the room off the kitchen, in the chilly little morgue that doubled as a pantry, their breath hung in diamond clouds mid-air. She found herself watching their process, dressing the eyeballs in spirits, supporting the jaw with a bandage tied neatly behind the dark head, doing up the shining copper buttons of the no longer white cohort jacket. Harrow had questioned this, but Abigail said that once they had extracted the projectiles from the wounds, Captain Deuterus might be decently arranged. Harrow was astonished that decent arrangement could still be constructed. The body had been in poor condition. There were 8 bullets in all. On flimsy, Harrow had calculated the trajectories and forces needed to compromise the axial skeleton in such a way. Lady Pent had assisted. Her thick brown hair was pinned up high on her crown and supported her first pair of glasses, swapped out for another, apparently totally different pair of glasses, while she leaved through an ancient gloss pulp book with gloves on to protect the fragile pages from her sweat. Harrow had sworn to avoid Pent at all costs, but the corpse in front of them had rendered that impossible. Harrowhark said, "The first projectile caused enormous trauma to the heart and would have been fatal. The second hit the clavicle. The third passed through the abdomen and lodged in the spine, and so on. The important note here is the first bullet. It accurately destroyed both atria." Abigail turned another page and said, openly baffled, "So why keep shooting?"
"Panic," suggested her husband, straightening up from the corpse.
Ortus was still busy dabbing blood away from a popping bruise on the body's temple, but said,
"Anger, perhaps. I have often heard that anger may carry one beyond the initial act of murder."
Abigail said, "Ah, here's the puppy. Reverend daughter, look at this."
Harrowhark stood and crowded in at the fifth adept's shoulder. She was being urged to look at a diagram of a bullet. Harrow reached over to take one of the less crumpled projectiles between thumb and forefinger, to hold it close to the picture and compare. And she beheld the drawing opposite. A long stock, an immense barrel, a jumble of triggers and mechanics and protrusions that she did not understand. "Carbine rifle," read the key. For a moment, she pitied Judith Deuteros's last seconds. To be killed with this ancient piece of grave goods, it would have been like being set upon by a ghost out of time. A brief skim of the blueprint showed her the problem immediately.
"This weapon can only fire 6 projectiles before needing to be replenished," she said.
"Reloaded," added Abigail helpfully.
"The assailant fired 8.
And must have known that poor Judith had no hope after the first hit, so reloading is odd, to say the least. Did anyone get anything pertinent out of the lieutenant?"
Magnus said soberly, "She's waiting outside. I offered to wait with her, but she turned me down. Don't know Dias very well, and didn't want to push. It's a bloody business."
When Lady Pent went to the kitchens, Harrowhark accompanied her. They found Lieutenant Dias not sitting down, or even leaning against the wall, as anyone else would have spent the full hour or so they had been with the body, but standing ramrod straight to attention. Her crisp white jacket appeared all the crisper and whiter after the wreck of her necromancers. Her scarlet necktie looked redder too. By the time they'd gotten hold of Judith Deuterus, the blood had dried hers nearly black. Ortus had sponged it, and was attempting to dry it over a stove. At their approach, Dias drew herself up to her full height, and she looked at Harrowhark, not at Abigail. She said with uncharacteristic frenzy,
"Why am I here?
Pent said, just to answer questions, Lieutenant Dias. The lieutenant said,
I want to know. I just want to know.
What you know is of vastly more importance, said Abigail. Please, if you can, tell us exactly what you saw down there.
Marta Dias looked at her. There was no woe on her face, only a deep, almost thirsty terror, an enormous anticipation, which animated what was usually a schooled cohort mask.
I was in the chamber when it happened, she said, already engaged with the target construct. The room was closed off from the adjoining chamber where the captain was.
There had been a brief pause. Harrow wondered if the pause had meant to contain Judith.
I didn't hear a shot. The target disappeared, the chamber unlocked. When I came out, the captain's door was open and she was inside. No vitals.
Pent said, How long from that chamber unlocking to you reaching her?
5 to 10 seconds to exit the chamber and get there, said Lieutenant Dias. Then she said, In hindsight, the door must have opened when she died.
Did you hear any subsequent shots? Harrow Hark asked.
No. The test chamber was soundproofed,
Dias continued, a little mechanically.
I left Captain Deuteros. I moved to the corridor. I saw, at the very end, the sleeper.
Please describe it, if you can, said Pent. She added, Take your time, Lieutenant. I recognize this is difficult.
Dias said, ragged. I just want to know.
You will. I give you absolute surety that you will. What did the sleeper look like?
You've all seen it through the glass, said Dias.
This was not entirely true.
Autus refused to go anywhere near the glass-faced coffin in that central room, or the somnolent corpse within, and quaked at his own breathing. Harrow Hark did not fear to look more closely at the death Teacher had promised them, ensconced within that frozen, clouded plex. She had been nonplussed to discover that the sleeper slept dressed for an emergency, as Dias recited now.
Breathing apparatus over the face, orange hazard suit, oxygen hood.
Harrow Hark said, Easy symbols to fake. It could have been someone dressed as the sleeper.
It was carrying a weapon, said Dias. One I hadn't seen anywhere in or on the coffin before. I called out, but it wouldn't stop. I pursued it to the central atrium. The sleeper's coffin was open and empty. The figure climbed inside, pulled the lid down, snapped it shut.
Abigail prompted. And then you escaped and raised the alarm. The lieutenant of the second looked at Abigail as though she had suggested, And then you went for ice cream.
I went and got a piece of tubing from the mortuary room, she said monotonously. I hit the coffin. I hit the coffin repeatedly. I did so for maybe a minute. You found blood on the glass. It's mine. I tried my fists and my feet and the butt of my sword. That plexiglass isn't plex. Or glass.
That could have easily meant all our deaths, said Harrow.
She had tasted hypocrisy on her own lips so often that she hardly felt the sting.
Emperor's breath, Dias. Said Lady Pent, white-lipped, a little more tactful in her shock. That didn't rouse it,
Dias said. No.
Harrow had only halfway noticed Autus edging closer, ostensibly to check on Judith Deuteros's blood-crusted necktie. He had stopped in his ministrations to listen in the dreamy, part-transfixed way he always seemed to listen to everything, with slight tonal differences depending on the person. He listened to Harrow with the happy demeanour of a person far away in his mind palace, unless what she was saying had a direct impact on him, at which point he merely got very sad. The lieutenant's gaze, unsettling and part feral, giving the impression that she was now a bag with 10 snakes inside, fell on Autus and the stained necktie he had been wringing out. Harrow stepped forward, trying to place herself between the sightline of the second cavalier and her own, but she moved to protect the wrong cavalier. Her cavalier cleared his throat. Oh, damn.
My sister, I envy your fortune. Fearless, you forge yet ahead through the cold grey flood of the river. Fallen in war for the fame of the house is the death every warrior fain would win at the finish. Laggard, I linger behind. Hold fast on the far bank's beachhead. Blood shall repay your blood spilt.
Book 11. For a moment, at the lieutenant's expression, Harrow thought that she might draw that practical cohort rapier and go for Ortus there and then, which his turgid verse probably did not deserve, but which his choice to quote it, unwanted and in public, very much did. She closed her thumb and forefinger over a chip of patella in her pocket. But then Dias's hands trembled and her eyes dropped to the floor, and she said lowly, I can't hope for that any more. Abigail Pent said gently, Lieutenant. But Dias was saying, low and fast, and this time to Harrow Hark herself, Is this really how it happens? You know of no hope for her. She had 8 metal projectiles spun at high speeds through her midsection, said Harrow. She knew that some people took comfort in the idea, so she added, She would have died very quickly after her heart was destroyed. No, said the lieutenant, and now Harrow thought she seemed dazed. Her fingers kept working the hilt of her rapier, from which hung a neat scarlet riband.
That's not... Don't know why I thought... No.
You have faced down a monster that is likely to be the doom of many, and many less able than Captain Deuteros, said Ortus.
Harrow regretted not making him take a solemn pledge of silence, to walk the place as the mute and intimidating bulk his father had been. But only a very obedient idiot of a cavalier would have stuck to that.
I include myself among the latter. Is there no hint of our salvation?
Abigail said, Ortus the 9th is right, Lieutenant. If there are any details, anything else you might be able to tell us, you've taught us so much already, even if the price was too high. The lieutenant drew herself up again. Her mouth was now a calm line that betrayed nothing but classic second house stoicism. Harrow Hark admired her for that. 1, she said crisply. The sleeper can move from its coffin. 2, the sleeper can pass through necromantic wards. 3, teacher told us not to wake it. I don't know what does. Noise doesn't.
Not necessarily, no, said Pent, who never did truck with unconditional statements.
4, it's carrying a rifle.
Like something from an old story, suggested Ortus.
Like something. That's all the facts I have, said the lieutenant. Don't want to guess. 1 more thing. I'm not saying this with absolute certainty. I only got a glance before the lid closed and the plex fogged up again. But there's something else in the coffin. The sleeper's lying on it.
The lieutenant closed her eyes, though her precise posture did not shift. When she opened them, she said,
I don't know if this matters, but it looked like a standard-issue infantry sword.
She added with cohort precision.
A two-hander.